Everyone said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you would. Before I do get into the word, and as we do turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2, I wanted to welcome all of our super kids in church today. Would you give them a great hand? Super kids, we're glad that you're here. And it won't be long. It won't be long at all until you'll be having your classes and you'll be enjoying your teachers again. But it is, it's interesting how we are in this particular time where we've dealt with COVID-19. And then on top of that, the situations that have been going on really all over the world. And I just wanted to bring to you today the direction that the Lord gave me as I was praying for you and praying over this message. Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to bring to your people this morning here and those that are watching us? You know, we read this morning all of the countries that are watching us from around the world. And there are things taking place all over the world right now. So the Lord has answers and he has direction. And what I wanted to do was begin, first of all, with Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. You know, we read this last week. Day of Pentecost, celebrating Pentecost Sunday. But the Lord just showed me some things and encouraged me in this scripture as we read it. So let's look at this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, and Judea, and Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, in Phrygia, in Pamphylia, and in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya around Cyrene, and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. It goes on to say in verse 16, and this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. We see here people coming together. People coming together from all nations for one purpose. One purpose, and that was to hear from God and what God was doing. You know, as I was just saying that, I thought about when I first went to Oral Roberts University. I went to Oral Roberts University, and it was amazing to me that when I got there, there was a gathering of students, not only from all over the United States, but really all over the world. And they came there for a specific reason and a purpose. And that same purpose was the reason that I went there. I knew there was more for me there. I knew that God had something more for me at Oral Roberts University. And first of all, I was filled with the Holy Spirit at Oral Roberts University. And second, I found my wife. She was at Oral Roberts University. And I'm still praying in tongues, and I'm still married to her. Glory to God. So all of these people came together. Diverse people from all backgrounds and cultures were experiencing an awakening to God. That's what was taking place. That is what was happening. In the Passion's translation in verse 5, now at that time there were Jewish worshipers who had immigrated from many different lands to live in Jerusalem. When the people of the city heard the roaring sound, crowds came running to where it was coming from, stunned over what was happening, because each one could hear the disciples speaking in his or her own language. Bewildered, they said to one another, aren't these all Galileans? So how is it that we hear them speaking in our own languages? We are northeastern Iranians, northwestern Iranians, Elamites, those from Mesopotamia, Judea, east central Turkey, the coastal areas of the Black Sea, east central Turkey, Asia, north central Turkey, southern Turkey, Egypt, Libyans who are neighbors of Cyrene, visitors from all over the Roman Empire, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we did hear the speaking of God's mighty wonders in our own dialects. All of these people came together. They came from all nations, all backgrounds, all colors. They were all gathered together and all division melted away as their eyes were focused on Jesus. An awakening from God results in great unity in the midst of diversity. Let me read that to you again. An awakening to God results in great unity in the midst of diversity. We have a great need right now in this nation. We have a great need in the nations. And the greatest need that we have is an awakening to God. An awakening to Him. Like Billy Brim said, June the 28th of 2008, one thing will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. One thing will help Israel and the nations. It is an awakening to God. And then the next year, in 2009, Brother Copeland was in the studio taping Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast with David Barton. And the word of the Lord came to Brother Copeland. And the Lord said this, this is the time that has been prophesied about. At stake here is not only your welfare in the land, but my move in the end times of a great awakening. It is that awakening that will save this land and others like it. For it is the time of the coming of the Lord. You'll rise up and you'll be my name and you'll be my power. I will manifest myself through you and many shall come and say, surely he is the God of all good. We are there. We are right there. It is just hanging there for us to believe God. It is that awakening that will save this nation. Our salvation has never been in politics. It has been in the move of the Holy Ghost, and we are there. So, it is an awakening to God. That is our greatest need at this moment of time. Can we praise God for that and thank Him for the great awakening that is taking place? Well, if you turn to 1 John chapter 4, we can now find out, and this is going to be a very mini lesson on an awakening of God, but 1 John 4 answers the question, what is an awakening to God? What is that? And I'll read verses 7 through 12 in the New Living Translation. It says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love and does not know God, for God is love. Say, God is love. God is love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us and His love is brought to full expression in us. A very important statement was made there. God is love. So when we talk about an awakening to God, we're really talking about an awakening to His love because God is love. An awakening to God is an awakening to His love. And over the years, as a pastor, I've done a lot of study about the love of God and have come up with a lot of different definitions and a lot of different messages about it. But one thing as I was preparing this really stood out at me, and it's this. God's love confers value on each other. That's one of the definitions of the word agape, to confer value, to see the value in others. That's exactly what God does with us. He sees the value in us. He sees that we are a gift. You and I are gifts to the body of Christ, and we are gifts to the world. Well, God's love confers value on each other. And then as I was preparing this, the Lord said this to me, God's love embraces diversity of culture and color. God's love will embrace the diversity of culture and of color. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10. In between services, as I was sitting and just pondering this and thinking about these things, the Lord really ministered something to me and gave me another example about this whole idea of embracing a diversity of culture and color, and the fact that we are much better together. You and I are much better together than we are apart. And this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is an outpouring of love. And what happens is people begin to see each other through God's eyes. Isn't that powerful? What a statement that people see each other through God's eyes. One moment they hate, then the next moment they love. One moment they won't have anything to do with you. One moment they can't be around you. And the next moment they can't stay away from you. And what the Lord showed me in between services today, He had me go to Acts chapter 10. And an awakening to God will be an awakening to love, of how much we love each other, and how in this awakening, people will connect with each other. Diverse groups will connect with each other. Black will connect with white, and all different groups will connect with each other. And look what happened. Peter had an awakening from God. It says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 9, on the morrow, they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at four corners and let down to the earth, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, that call not common. This done three times, and the vessel was received up to heaven. Well, later on, in verse 24, the next day, after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down on his feet and worshiped him. And Peter took him up saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with them and he went in, he found many that were come together. And he said to them, listen to this very carefully. He said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation or a Gentile. But God has showed me. That's what an awakening is. God has showed me. He showed me this. Peter's saying, God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. He had an awakening. It was an awakening. And as I was reading this scripture, I looked to the cross reference where I often make notes. And I wrote this. I don't know when I wrote it. I don't know how long ago I wrote it. But listen, I wrote this. God straightened out Peter so he could fulfill his calling to the Gentiles. He opened a door to step through and to see a people through different eyes. And it came as an awakening from God. One moment, he had nothing to do with them. And the next moment, God had put Peter right in the middle of them. That's what happens That's what happens during the time of an awakening. It says in Psalm 133, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore." The blessing and life evermore comes from our unity, comes with the love of God, that comes from an awakening to God. So we see that an awakening to God is an awakening to His love. It's an awakening to God's people, the people that He loves, and that eyes will be opened in the midst of an awakening. And all of a sudden, somebody looks at someone that just a few moments before they hated, and now they love them with all of their hearts. So what's the result? What are the results? And you look back at some of the past awakenings. What were the results of those awakenings? Listen to this. Let's talk about for a moment the Welsh revival. The Welsh revival. Evan Roberts was the central figure of the Welsh revival. This revival was an awakening to God and was one of the purest, classical, Holy Spirit outpourings in the history of the church. Roberts grew up in a coal mining community. He quit school to become a coal miner at the age of 12. He received Jesus as his Lord at age 13. From the beginning, he was extraordinarily sensitive to spiritual things. Shortly after his conversion, he heard a sermon in which the preacher spoke about the glorious outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The preacher asked the congregation, "What if the Spirit should come in one of our services and you weren't present?" This affected Roberts deeply. He determined that he would not miss any of the church meetings. Despite his tiresome work in the coal mine, he began to attend every prayer meeting, every youth meeting, and any other meeting offered by the church. This involved him being at church 6 out of 7 days a week. He did this consistently throughout his teenage years. He read and he heard some of the great revivals that had occurred in Wales and in other places. He became obsessed with the subject. He said, "I could sit up all night to read or talk about revivals." As the day of his destiny drew near, God began to reveal himself to the young man in a special way. You know, we have young people in here, some super kids, middle school, 1440. The same thing can happen to you. Same thing, as you draw nigh unto God, God will draw near unto you. The same thing can take place with you at night. Visitations from the Holy Spirit in the middle of the night. Well, God revealed himself to this man in a special way. At the age of 25, he woke up one night and found himself in the presence of God. He was in the presence of God. Waking up in the middle of the night, he said, "I found myself with unspeakable joy and in awe in the presence of the Almighty God. I was privileged to speak face to face with him as a man speaks face to face with a friend." This deep communion went on for 4 hours. He was surprised to have the same experience every night for the next 3 months. Night after night after night, a visitation from God to Evan Roberts. During one church service, he saw a vision of himself speaking to the young people at his home church. He tried to get this out of his mind. He couldn't accept it, but he finally submitted to that vision. And shortly after this, he told his parents he was going to speak at the church, and then he was going to preach all over Wales. His parents thought he was crazy. Some write that his parents thought he was insane. But he went and asked the pastor if he could preach. The pastor of his home church decided to play it safe. So he allowed Evan to preach after the main prayer service concluded. People had gone home. There were just a few in the room. 16 young adults and one little girl stayed. All present received Jesus as their Lord. So powerful was this first meeting that Evan was given a second night to preach, and then a third, and then a fourth, and then a fifth. And by the second week, the church was packed and the revival was on. Fervent prayer went forth all over Wales. And within weeks, the revival fires were blazing throughout the entire nation. And the results of this awakening to God were absolutely outstanding. They were astonishing. It happened in the church first, but it went from the church and it began to spread out all over the nation. Churches, which had been only half full, were now unable to hold all the people. These people were coming to find Jesus. Services, which had been formal and lasted the exact designated time, now they were hotbeds of prayer, praise, and singing. Many of the services would begin with the hymn of this outpouring called, "Here is Love, Vast as an Ocean." When asked about the times of the services, a pastor replied, "From 6 until midnight." The astonished inquirer said, "You mean you have church from 6 p.m. until midnight?" "No," he answered. "I meant that we have services from 6 a.m. until midnight." Within a couple of months, Wales was a changed nation. An awakening to God will change a nation. What about the nation itself? What was taking place in the nation? Crime was reduced to almost nothing. Often, the magistrates were given a ceremonial pair of white gloves when they arrived at the courtroom. These gloves signified there were no cases to try. The courts had been averaging 700 cases each week, 6 months before the revival began. After the revival was going full force, the average each week was 2 cases. You see the difference an awakening will make. There was a wave of bankruptcies. The bars and the taverns were emptied out and they were closed down. A reporter went to a police station wondering what the policeman did now that there was so little crime. He was told, "We used to serve 2 purposes. One was dealing with crime. The other was controlling crowds. Now that the revival has come, there is no crime. So we go to where the crowds are, the churches. We have several good singing voices among our policemen, so we have formed 3 quartets and sing at the meetings." So radical was the change in the coal miners that there was a slowdown in the mines. Why was that? Well, the pit ponies, so used to being cursed and screamed at by the ungodly miners, could not figure out what to do when their transformed masters spoke kindly and gently to them. It was an awakening to God, and it was an awakening to the love of God. It was an awakening to one another. It really was. It was an awakening to one another. Well, what about today? What about an awakening for today? What about that awakening that we so need in this nation, in our nations? Well, I saw something that took place this week that gave me hope. I saw something this week, to me, that looked like an awakening from God. And it took place right here in the city of Fort Worth. It was last Monday night. And something happened so profound, so scriptural, because, and I'll read this scripture to you in Proverbs 15:1, it says in the New Living Translation, "A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers fly." The first Fort Worth police officer to kneel with protesters Monday night to defuse a volatile standoff was a little nervous. He considered the gesture a symbol of trust and unity. Downtown bicycle officer David Yancey was one of the many officers who came face to face with an angry crowd Monday night outside the historic Tarrant County Courthouse. It was a standoff, and it grew more tense by the minute. I took some time to look at the Fort Worth Police Department Facebook, and they had on there footage, raw footage, of what was going on. It lasted probably about 12 to 18 minutes or so. And they showed everything that was taking place. And at the beginning, there was a camera right behind all the officers. And you could see the crowd of people in front of them. There was a distance between them. And you could tell there was anger. There was rage. There was fear. There was this sense of, where is this going to end up? How is this going to end up? And it was really quite something to behold and to look at. Police told the demonstrators they were violating curfew and ordered to leave. Protesters refused to budge. At one point, as the situation escalated, they invited officers to kneel with them, and they started to chant, "Just take a knee, just take a knee, just take a knee," they yelled at the officers. They offered to go home if they would just take a knee. Yancey, a black officer who joined Dallas Police 14 years ago and transferred to Fort Worth 4 years ago, is assigned to the downtown bicycle squad. He said, "I was a little nervous. I was basically standing there and listening to them. And I said to myself, I'm going to take a knee." Yancey then turned to his supervisor. He asked if he could take a knee. The supervisor gave his permission. The officers quickly huddled with one another. All of them wanted to take a knee. They wanted to do this together. Yancey said, "A knee was a symbol of trust and unity to me." He said, "I felt a little vulnerable." And you can imagine, what if you were those police officers and you were facing an angry crowd and you got down on your knee before them? What could happen? What could take place? What was about to happen in the midst of them? He said, "But at the time, you could tell the crowd wanted us to be part of them. Something was taking place. There was a move of God that was happening." He said, "So I did not see it as a threat to me." He said, "In an instance, the tense standoff gave way." And I'll say this before I say these words. I watched the video, and it's amazing. Absolutely amazing to view. And I watched the anger turn to love as the officers took a knee and the people rushed forward, but they weren't rushing forward to to throw things at them. They were rushing forward to shake their hands. They were rushing forward to hug them. They were rushing forward to pray with them. They ended up praying that night. They ended up praying. Officer Yancey said, "It was very rewarding. It was a sigh of relief to me, and I believe to my fellow officers as well. We all wanted everything to be peaceful." And these pictures that you're looking at, these are little screenshots that I took from that video that so touched my heart to see these things taking place. And it reminded me again of Psalm 133, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. "For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing. Even life everlasting." What a moment that was. And to see those pictures, I thought to myself, this is what an awakening to God looks like. It's people coming together, people loving one another. And what the Lord put into my heart today is to receive communion. Did you receive communion coming in this morning? Those of you that did not get the communion elements, just raise your hand. And one of our ushers will bring you these communion elements. And Pastor Terry and I are going to lead you in praying over our nation, praying over our city, the city of Fort Worth. And what a blessed city this is. This is a city of God. and to pray over other cities around the United States, that they would experience the same kind of awakening to God, and other nations that are watching us right now, other nations that are experiencing these same issues. The answer to this is an awakening to God. And so as we pass out these elements, what I wanted to do, and I mentioned this earlier, that the theme song for the Welsh revival was "Here is Love, Vast as an Ocean." I want us to do that song, and I want us to come into a place, a holy place with the Lord, that He would truly see us and experience us in our heart's desire to see an awakening take place like we've never seen before.